Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, wherever you are in the world. This is Crunch Boxing. I'm your host, Matt, and I'm here with a very special guest. He is the former junior middleweight champion. He is coming back to reclaim his throne July 19th, Las Vegas, Nevada, at the MGM Grand Garden Arena, live on PBC pay-per-view on Prime Video. I'm talking about the one, the only, Tim Tszyu, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, what's going on, Tim? Hit that. There's a microphone in your bottom left-hand corner, Tim. Hit that. There we go.
Yeah, gotcha. Got it. Right. Yeah.
Hey, listen, man. You're back July 19th, man. Back in the title hunt. You're back fighting for a title against a familiar opponent, Sebastian Fundora. Tell us about your next fight, Tim.
Yeah, it's massive, you know. I get to rewrite my story. The fact that we went to war 12 rounds and it was a bloody mess. So it's going to be one hell of a banger.
Now, what made you go right back into fighting for Dora? Because there was talk that you and Keith Thurman were going to end up fighting each other. You know, you guys had back to back weeks where you fought, and it was supposed to be set up for Keith Thurman. Why did you choose Sebastian Fundora over Keith Thurman this time around?
Yeah, I think it's a bit more sentimental, the fact that we already shared the ring with each other. He won on the scorecards. It was a close fight, but there was a lot of unanswered questions for me. So that's why I wanted it back, and that's why we're back here fighting against Fundora.
Now, before we get into the actual Fundora fight, I just have to mention, you are fighting on an event with Manny Pacquiao. How surreal is that for you, man?
Yeah, that's crazy. You know, like, I went to Manny Pacquiao versus Miguel Cotto in 2009 at the MGM in attendance. So for me, I was a big, big Pacquiao fan, and the fact that I get to fight in his undercard as the main support, it's pretty unreal. It's pretty surreal for me.
Now, in your last fight, you fought Joey Spencer. You looked like yourself. Did you feel like yourself coming out of that fight?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I was methodical. I was took my time, and then when I felt blood, when I smelt blood, I just went in for the kill. So, you know, it was a smart fight for myself.
Now, do you feel like you're all the way back from where you've been? Because obviously we know you had lost Fedora, you had the canceled fight with Virgil Ortiz, and then you had the loss to Mirdazaliyev, where it kind of seemed like in that fight you were pouring at your head, even though, like, nobody hit you there. You know, it kind of seemed like you were still worried about that cut. Do you feel like you're all the way over that and you're back to where you need to be?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I think I was still fresh, and there was a lot of little things in my mind, and the fact that, you know, I had a bit of a pause during the fight, and I didn't... It was a weird reaction, you know. I don't know what it could have been, but yeah, that's all gone. I'm back to the Tim Tszyu that started.
Oh, that is great to hear, because listen, you were basically at the top of the junior middleweight division. There were talks about you fighting maybe Jermell Charlo when he comes back. You know, there were talks about you maybe fighting Terrence Crawford when he had moved up. So where do you feel like Tim Tszyu fits in the junior middleweight landscape in 2025?
2025? Well, you know, this is the fight to prove that I'm back at the very top, really. Like, beating Sebastian Fundora, who's the main man right now in the super welterweight division, brings you that prestige of being at the very top. So, yeah, back at the very top.
I'm sorry, go ahead. So talking about Fundora, my bad, interrupt you, Matt.
You know, the first fight, you know, I thought the cut played a big factor in it, and I thought that you were having a lot of success before that cut, then it kind of changed the fight. Do you kind of feel like the cut was the like a really big deciding factor in that fight?
Yeah, I've been asked this question a lot of times. I feel like it could have been. But at the same time, I blame myself for reacting in a way where I let the fight slip, you know. So no excuses on my side. It's just being able to figure it out the next time.
Now, now a lot of people, and I'm sure you saw it, a lot of people were critical of your corner for not pulling you out of the fight and making it a no contest. Like, was that a conversation that needed to be had with your corner, or are you okay with the decision that they made to fight on?
I'm okay, just due to the fact that I was able to show the world what I'm truly made of, you know, and it's that's what I'm about, you know, just bringing that warrior spirit at all times. Strategically, we could have done better, and people pointed out and blamed themselves, and that was the main thing as well, you know. So, you look, a lot of people made mistakes, and we just move on.
Now, do you feel like, because you were supposed to fight Virgil Ortiz in August of last year, and then I guess you were approved medically. Like, do you feel like maybe you came back too early from the cut, and maybe you should have took a little bit more time off?
Probably, man. I'll be honest with you. Probably, yeah. I went, I never had a rest. I never really had time to reflect. I just went straight back in because I wanted to prove my wrongs. But yeah, sometimes you do need a little bit of a reset and be able to zero in into what's next after.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I did see that there's a guy, I want to talk talent business with you. This is Australian business. So if you guys are not Australian, you might not understand. But Michael Zarapa, he's been talking a lot of shit about you for years. He's been wanting to fight you for years. That was supposed to be like a huge fight in Australia. And now it seems like he's turned his attention to your brother, Nikita. Like, what's the deal with Zarapa? Is that a fight that you'll ever entertain having, even down the line?
Honestly, I'm really just focused on fighting in America right now, being able to reclaim my throne. I don't really think about the circuses that go on around.
No, because it's funny, because a lot of people wouldn't know that. It feels like Michael Zarapa has like some sort of blood feud with the Zoo family for some reason. I don't know why.
He's just, look, the guy's desperate. He needs a paycheck, so that's all it is.
Now, what do you have to do to be successful July 19th against Sebastian Fedora?
Just turn out each round and get each round done in a proper fashion, you know, and Fandora's obviously a hard guy to fight. He's so tall and he's got this reach and he's got this awkwardness, but you know, you got to take some to give some. So yeah, it's just staying on task.
Yeah, so you know, you talk about that a lot, and the warrior spirit. Like how did you develop that kind of mentality? Because you know, it's not like you came from like absolutely nothing. Your father was a fighter. You grew up around the fight game, but yet you still have that. It's just like this crazy warrior mentality where you feel like you need to prove you're the best. You need to show that you're the man. You need to dominate every opponent. Where does that come from?
Yeah, it's a good question. I've always had that kill or be killed, always that competitive type of spirit in me, even growing up. Everything I wanted to do was be the best, number one at everything I do. So it resonates to my sport now, and don't know where it came from, but I've got that. I've got it in me.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you're obviously a huge star in Australia. Honestly, if you never fought in America, you wouldn't need to because you're a big star out there. But what made you want to come to Las Vegas, Nevada, come to America to make a name for yourself over here?
Man, I'm a big boxing fan from a young age, and you know, it's America's where it's at. That's why I've always been chasing to go to America and fighting here and living my dream, you know. Like, I believe the Coliseum back in the days, this is in Las Vegas right now, so that's how I see it.
Yeah, absolutely. Ezra, you got anything, Ezra?
The Morozov fight, we're talking about the Morozov fight. Is that a fight that you want to, if you get past Fedora, is that a fight you're looking at to get that one back too? You're looking to get both these back? Is that a fight that kind of stays on your mind?
Yeah, to a certain extent, you know, wouldn't it be lovely to rewrite history and come back with the Fandora victory and then Morozov victory? That would make the story even greater, you know? So, yeah, it would definitely be on my mind.
Now,
Go ahead. Well, no, I was just saying, because you took the Joey Spencer fight, and people took that kind of like as like more like a get right fight, a tune up fight. When they offer you fights like that, do you see them as tune up fights? Like, do you see like I really kind of want to get back to like a bigger name, like because that's kind of been your MO. Like you see, even when you lost Fedora, right to a Morzaya fight, and it seems like you right to a Fedora fight right away. So it seems like you're not the kind of guy that wants to do tune ups or get right fights. You kind of just want to be with the best guys. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's the thing, you know. They need to try to slow me down. But, yeah, I'm always taking the biggest and hardest fights possible.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to ask you about one of your stablemates, Cesar Mateo Tapia, okay? Because on the same card where you fought Bakhramon Azaliyev, he had what I thought was one of the great fights of the year against Andriy Saavedra. All right. When are we getting that fight again, man? I know you need something.
I don't know, man. You gotta ask the promoters, man. But yeah, that'd be one hell of a fight. That guy was real tough, and he just kept coming.
Yeah, it was great. Like you're obviously very big in Australia, and you have like a lot of fighters that you spar with. A lot of fighters. It seems like they're in your gym, training your gym. Like who are the best fighters coming out of the Tim Tszyu Boxing Club?
Who do we have? We don't have many. We got my brother. We got a few fighters, but we got like a lot of people coming down from sparring from all over Australia. I have Michael Fox join me from Baltimore. So he's
hey, coming. That's my guy.
Yeah,
that's my guy right there.
So he's in Sydney now, helping me out with preps. But yeah, we got a small little gym with small little stable, and that's really about it.
I hope you have Michael Fox wearing elbow pads.
Yeah, I gotta dodge those elbows.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it was a bloody fight too, and a main event. Like this is gonna be a huge event. Like I can't even understand how big it's gonna be. You got Manny Pacquiao versus Mario Barrios. Yourself versus Sebastian Fedora. You got Pitbull Cruz versus Angel Fierro. Like, besides your own fight, because obviously your fight is going to steal the show. Besides your own fight, what fight are you most looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Pitbull, I'll be honest. Pitbull and Fierro. I think that rematch is going to be one hell of a fight. The first time they just went toe-to-toe, and it was pretty sick to watch. And I like Pitbull's style. It's quite interesting.
Yeah, and that first fight was a fight of the year candidate.
Yeah, it was cracked
up. Like, do you feel like any extra pressure to like bring the violence, since this card is really a violent card? This is going to be a banger.
Man, I'm all about violence and bringing the violence, so you don't have to count me out on that.
And how's camp been going so far? Obviously, you mentioned that you've been sparring with Michael Fox. How where are you at in your training camp? Like, how are we feeling?
Yeah, everything's good. Everything's going according to plan, you know. We're banking in them rounds, sparring nonstop. So, yeah, I've got 12 rounds this afternoon. So, everything's going according to plan.
Now, obviously, you make 154 comfortably, and 154 is the division where there's all the smoke. But 160 is kind of there. You've been at 154 basically your whole career. Has there been any thought to moving up, or you feel comfortable at 154?
Yeah, for sure. I'll be moving up in the near future. I just there's a couple of things I want to do at 154, and then we'll make the change eventually.
Okay. So Fedora, Murtazaliyev, Thurman, and then 160. Okay.
That's pretty good. Let's bring Charlo in there as well. Why not?
Jamal Charlo is coming back. He said he's coming back. He said he's coming back all the way to 154 after fighting at 168. As a fighter, because I know cut weight is a big thing for you guys, like, is that something you would do, like, come back down two divisions, or do you feel like that's, like, might be a little bit too much for a fighter?
I think it is a bit too much, maybe, but I think the fact that he was the champ at 154 and he wants to prove it back as well. So, you know, he's got a lot of questions to be answered. So I think that's his driving force.
Do you hold a little grudge against Thurman since, you know, you guys were supposed to fight, he pulls out, and, you know, your career kind of was like, you know, you beat Thurman, you're right there at the top.
Yeah.
But since Thurman pulls out, you kind of, you know, just turn your career a little bit different route. What do you feel anything about that? About that
fight? Yeah, about Thurman pulling out? That's all right, you know, like these things happen, you know, it's not my fault that he had that bicep injury. But no hard feelings, you know. I have to control what I can control.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. Now, another guy who's been calling your name for a year now, but for some reason I fight another guy over the table, Erickson Lubin. Is that a fight you're still interested in? You're like, we were past that.
I'd definitely be interested in it. It really depends, man. Like, how long will I stay at 160, and possibly who are the biggest fights to make at 154? You know, so yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot to focus on. But right now, I'm just focused on what's his name, Fandora.
Now, who are some of the other guys who you feel like are the guys that you might have to end up seeing in the division? I know you were assigned to fight Virgil Ortiz. Obviously, we know you got Mirdazalia, Fedora, Lubin, Jesus Rock. There's like quite a bit of guys at 154. Who do you think are the best guys there that you might have to see in the ring?
Look, the talk before was with Errol Spence, with Charlo, with Erickson Lubin, with Fandora. Who else was there in the mix? There was a few names like that, yeah. But Thurman, of course. So, yeah, they're the guys that I'm very interested in.
Do you see, since Fedora's fought after you, this fight after your guys' fight, do you see improvement in his game? Like, do you see something different? Or is it the same guy you feel like you're going in there with? Or is there a new
confidence? Honestly, I didn't really watch the fight. I don't really watch my opponent's fights. But
oh, really?
Yeah. But I've seen his opponent. He's a bit tailor-made for Fandora, you know?
So when you're in camp, do you just rely on your trainers to watch your opponent and get you ready for it, or do you guys just apply your game? Like, you just
I understand what he brings. Like, we've shared 12 rounds together, so I sort of understand him. I've watched him over the years. I understand what he's like, and then we just create a game plan from that, and that's what I do. And I don't really focus on watching my opponents and all that stuff.
Now, I wanted to switch gears a little bit because one of the things that we saw leading up to your fight with Brock Mirdazalia was almost like a reunion of sorts between you and your father, the Hall of Famer Costa Zu. What was that moment like for you, and how was it like having your father in your corner?
Yeah, it was good to a certain extent, you know, but like, I don't like to feel soft and vulnerable before a fight, you know. And
you're always a warrior, man.
Exactly, man. And it was like warrior mentality. And the fact that my dad's there, it's like, oh, I haven't seen him in years. It's nice to see you there. Your first time here. A little bit of emotions from that, you know. But like, yeah, I'm sort of stoic when I get into the ring and before the fight. So that's how I feel.
What's the game plan going into this fight against Fandora?
Not run into any elbows, and then hopefully land the powering shots, sleep him.
Did you feel in control? The first two rounds of that fight, because I thought you were really in control. Did you feel like you were in control? Did you feel like, hey, this is going in my direction?
Yeah. Like, I had it all figured out. I felt like, I was like, man, this guy's not going past four rounds. Like, I got him, you know. That's what was going through my head. And then end of the round two, I was like, boom. I had a fountain of blood just coming out of my forehead, the top of my head. So I was like, ah, damn. And then, yeah, I stopped thinking about myself and my fighting, and I just sort of just started throwing haymakers and just having to figure out this blood in my eyes. But yeah, again, no excuses. That was my fault.
Now, who can you blame for the elbow? Because listen, I blame you. My co-host blames Fandora.
Yeah,
he says Fandora elbowed you. I say that you rammed into his elbow with your head. What happened in that moment? Can you settle the debate for us, please?
Look, I think, because he's a southpaw and he's got these long, long, like spider legs, Our legs clashed, and the fact that because of our legs clashed, I fell off balance from the clash, and then he sort of put it in there. It wasn't like he didn't slide it in. The elbow was split in.
Oh my god! gotta hit the pause on that one.
But listen, do you have a couple minutes to take some questions from fans? That the fans like to talk to quite a few times. All right, so listen, if you guys have a question for the great Tim Zoo, speak now or forever hold your peace. Send us a request and you will be on with the former and perhaps future junior middleweight champion, Tim Zoo.
You know, before we get someone else, I do have one more question, because I know a lot of people call you Tim Tazoo. Do you ever get bothered by that? They get mixed up with your dad's name and they keep calling you Tim Tazoo, I know.
Do I get annoyed at that?
Yeah. I'm just curious.
Nah, it sounds pretty good, actually, Tim Tazoo.
It's got good flow to it. I think so, too. All right.
How come nobody uses the Soul Taker? Because I was going to ask you why you don't have a nickname. And then I saw your box track, like your nickname is the Soul Taker. I've never heard anyone use that before. When do they use the Soul Taker?
Yeah, I don't know. One of the commentators made it up in Australia and we sort of just went on with it.
I was like, I never hear anyone introduce the Soul Taker. Real quick, Fondo, you're on with Tim Zoo. What's going on, Fondo?
Hey, what's up, Matt? Good luck for bringing me up, bro. And hey, Tim, how you doing?
Good. Good, thanks.
I just had two quick questions. One question was about the Fedora fight. I was watching it. I felt like you was in control early, but I know the cut played a factor. When you get cut like that in a match, like how do you feel like losing so much blood, knowing you had to go about 10 more rounds? So how do you like mentally get through that?
Yeah, it was tough. I'll be honest with you. It was tough at first, and at first it was. Trying to wipe my eyes, but then I started to have to feel to get back in the groove, and I had to try and adapt. And I think it was tough, but you learn more from it.
Okay, cool. One more question. If you do get the after the next fight with Fedora and you get the belt back, what you think your next move might be?
Probably just the biggest possible fight, man.
Charlo.
I was gonna say that.
Yeah, that'd be sick. I'll be honest. That'd be mad.
Yeah, you've been circling Charlo for years, man.
Yeah, I think we deserve to. I think it'll be a mad fight for the fans, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
One more thing. After you beat Fedora, you gonna call him out?
Charlo?
Yeah.
Yeah, might as well, huh?
Yeah, you might as well call him out.
All right,
good luck, Matt. Appreciate you, bro.
Thanks, bro.
Fondo. We got the RNS podcast here. RNS, you are on with Tim Zoo. What's going on?
What's good? Thank you, Matt. What's good, Tim?
Hey, bro.
First of all, it's a couple pauses in here, and I'm glad they don't call you the soul snatcher anymore. But, In the second fight, right? In the first fight, I thought, you know, you was beating Fedora. I thought he was still a little timid to engage, even with the cut. Do you think in the second fight he's going to, after feeling your power, you think he's going to want to box more instead of, you know, try to bring the fight to you?
Yeah, good question. That'll be interesting to see, what his game plan will be, because if he comes at me full on, I'll be ready for that, you know. I'm hoping that he brings in the fight.
Yeah, I thought, you know, clearly, as Ezra stated earlier, I thought the first couple of rounds you were in control. I thought you were going to stop him before the cut. But even with the cut, you know, you was throwing a couple of shots that landed, and I think he was being cautious of the power. So I don't think he's going to really – I think he's going to try to box and stay on the outside in this second fight. So – hopefully you definitely win. We definitely need that Charlo fight, so definitely call him out after this fight.
Yeah, appreciate that, man. Will do.
That was the first good question from that guy. You're bringing out everybody's A game tonight, too.
All right, C-Gar, you're on with Tim Zoo. What's going on, C-Gar?
Yo, what's up? I just want to wish Tim Zoo luck. You know, you're one of my favorite fighters. Same with Nikita and your father, Costa. So I just wanted to wish you good luck, Tim. You're one of my favorites.
I appreciate that. Yeah, thanks so much.
No problem, man. Good luck. And no disrespect to Fundora, but I know you won't duck any smoke. You're in for the fans, so I hope you win.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
No problem, man.
All right, now joining us now, we got my man Iron from the ATL. What's going on, Iron? You're on with Tim Zoo.
Appreciate you, Matt. What's going on with Champ?
Hey, man.
Hey, man, I always say that this division is really the most competitive division in boxing. When you look around at the landscape of the division, like, are you kind of, like, in awe of all the talent that's around there and how, like, cutthroat the division is?
Yeah, I think it's a hell of a division, you know? That's what's the hardest thing is to move up to 160. It's like it doesn't have as much interest compared to 154. So, yeah, it's a hell of a division. We've got some crazy names in there and plenty of big fights to be made.
No doubt. Gobble Ghoul Tony, I'm worried about bringing you up here, Tony. Don't disappoint
me. I wanted to ask a question about your brother, because over the last, I think, like 12 months, he's really started to get bigger wins and move up in the rankings, and now he has a big fight ahead of him. Or I don't know if it's been signed, but with Michael Zarafa, how excited are you for your brother to get that fight?
I don't think it's been signed yet, I'll be honest with you. I think it's still in the process.
Oh, then it's not signed yet.
But between me and you,
then how proud are you of your brother getting ranked and moving up in the world rankings?
What's that?
How proud are you of your brother moving up in the world rankings?
Yeah, the fight's not signed yet, but it's going to be in December, Tim. Look out for December. Yeah,
I think the fact that Nikita's making a name and carving out a boxing career is pretty special, you know?
What's been the reaction to you from American fans? Because it seems like you have a lot of people that really respect you in America. We always root for you. We love the way you fight. We love your attitude. Like, have you been feeling the love since you moved your game to the United States?
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's like Australia's great, but the fact that boxing is so big in America and you get so much love here, it's so hard to come back to Australia at times, you know? So, yeah, I definitely feel the love and I love fighting here. I love the passion. I love the history, the culture, and everything about it.
Yeah. RNS, you got a question, RNS?
Yeah, I do have one more question. There's a new face in the 154-pound division. I know he has some plans lined up already. But is a fight with Jerron Ennis something that you would want to entertain before moving up to 160?
Yeah, I don't duck anyone, man. So, I'd love to make the biggest fights happen. So, yeah, if it gets made and a possibility, then, yeah, why not?
All right. No doubt. Do you have any parting words for your fans? I know you got to get back to doing what you're doing. Any parting words for your fans, and what can they expect on July 19th?
No, I think it's the love from the US has been unreal, you know, and the fact that we get to put it on again and put on a fight for the ages, it's a big thing for me. So yeah, thank you to everyone and thank you for supporting the event.
Yeah, no doubt. And listen, and thank you for coming on the show, man. Listen, we've been trying to get you for a while now. I've been harassing all those No Limit emails. Trying to see if I can get you on the show. So I'm happy you were finally able to make it to Brunch Boxing, man. Thank you so much, man. Don't be a stranger. We are rooting for you. Best wishes to you on July 19th.
No, I appreciate it, man. Appreciate that so much. See you later, guys.
All right, Tim Zoo, ladies and gentlemen. And don't forget that you can catch Tim July 19th at the MGM Grand Garden Arena, Las Vegas, Nevada. Tim Zoo versus Sebastian Fundora for the WBC Junior Middleweight Championship of the World. It's going to be the co-feature of the huge PBC pay-per-view on Prime event that is headlined by the return of the legendary Hall of Famer, Manny Pacquiao, who will be taking on Mario Barrios for the WBC welterweight championship of the world. Appreciate you guys for joining me. Shout out to the Arvinets podcast for joining us. Make sure you guys check out the Arvinets podcast. Go subscribe. Go follow. When is the next episode of the Arvinets podcast?
So we will be going on Thursday, 8:30. We'll be going on every Thursday at 8:30 for the next couple episodes. And then we will be moving to live visual episodes. So stay tuned for that. Definitely follow. Appreciate the show.
Awesome. Appreciate my guy, Iron, for joining us. Cigar, the Gobble Ghoul, Tony, as always, my guy. Hope I didn't miss anybody. Probably did. Oh, Fonto. Shout out to Fonto. But this has been another edition of Brunch Boxing. He is our COO, the Mexican Al Heyman. He is our host, Ezra Boxing. I am Matt. We are Brunch Boxing. And we are out. Shout out to Hebe, the producer.